Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, December the 29th. And welcome to our commentary. I guess we're within 72 hours of 2023. It's always kind of fun counting it down to the new year. We're going to talk about a lot of issues today, but I want to begin. This is a breaking story. It literally just came in about 30 minutes before I began the video. And that is the passing of Pelé, probably the greatest soccer player of the last 50, 60 years. Now, I'm not an expert on soccer, as anybody can tell you, but I certainly know about Pelé. And he was just a great player, a very dramatic, very acrobatic player. And maybe the best way to explain Pelé to someone who doesn't know soccer, the best way to explain it is to say that he's like the Michael Jordan of soccer. You remember Michael Jordan and how amazing he was on the court? Well, that's the way Pelé was. He was just amazing on the field. He was just an unbelievable player to watch. Again, I'm not a big soccer fan, but I do know who he is, and I've seen plenty of highlights of his career, and I don't know that anybody could do more with his feet and the ball than Pelé. So rest in peace to the great Pelé. He was 82. We knew that he had been ill for some time. So, you know, what can you say? I'm sure the people of Brazil are going to take it very hard because he was a huge hero in that country. I'm also going to tell you, I have a post over at the American Thinker, and I want you to check it out because, you know, it's a story about how the government, particularly some state governments, are actually paying people not to work. Now, they don't call it that. That's not the name of the program. But in essence, what you have is about 14 states where people are, what they get in benefits, in cash benefits, and then in some cases what they get through healthcare benefits is frankly enough to stay home. Certainly more than that they can make in a regular job. In fact, in New Jersey, Illinois, and I think Massachusetts, the three states in the report, you can make as much as $80,000. I don't mean in cash, but in a combination of cash and benefits. So this is killing the country. I mean, this is particularly killing those states because if you're a small businessman, a restaurant, for example, and you're looking for people, you cannot compete with benefits like that. You're never going to be able to compete with benefits like that. So what's happening in many of those places are closing restaurants. If you have a small manufacturing operation and you need to hire people in a startup type situation or, you know, somebody off the street to learn the new business, you know, it's hard to pay them that kind of money. So it's horrible for the economy of those states. We don't have that problem in Texas, and we don't have it in the red state. It's more of a blue state problem. But it just, I think it's bad for the country. The whole philosophy, the whole psychology of getting paid for not working, I just think it's terrible. And how long these programs are going to last, I don't know. You know, the problem with a lot of programs is once they get started, they never get stopped. So what you're doing is you're not really helping people. What you're doing is you're creating a dependency on government, which is a totally different thing. Look, I am a conservative. I'm a capitalist. I'm a free market kind of guy. But I believe in what they used to call the safety net, you know, which is a safety net to protect people from, let's say, a bad economy, a recession, a company moving out of the country, those kinds of things. So, I'm, you know, I think most of us have a willingness to help people in those circumstances. But that's not what this is. This is creating dependency. And this is the worst kind of thing that a government can do, is instead of helping people, instead of helping people transition from point A to point B, what we're doing here is we're keeping people in a particular situation and we're creating dependency. And I think that is an absolutely horrible thing to do. So check out my post. It's over at the American Thinker. Since the Supreme Court stepped in yesterday and basically kept Title 42 going for another month or so, the White House has been pretty much silent. Now, that's not a shock because the White House has been pretty much silent when it comes to immigration. I mean, this is the White House that apparently doesn't know we have a border and it doesn't know that the border is in bad shape or out of control. I also want to say something else, too, about this topic, because I keep people referring to this as an immigration problem on our broken immigration system. What's happening on the border has nothing to do with immigration. What's happening on the border is the breakdown of the rule of law. When you have lawlessness, when you have chaos, when you have the kind of ridiculous situation that you have on the border where people are coming in, we don't even know who they are or where they're going, that's not immigration. Immigration is something very serious. Immigration is a program where you come to another country and you follow certain rules to go into that country, like I did, like many of you did. That's immigration. This is not immigration. This is chaos. And all you got to do is take a look at the city of El Paso and take a look at some of those images, and you're going to see for yourself what I'm talking about. This is not immigration. So stop talking about our broken immigration system and start talking about the broken President Biden border policy, because that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Well, on December 29th, 1845, the country of Texas, it was actually the Republic of Texas at that time, became the state of Texas. And it became part of the Union. It came in as number 28 when it came to the states. Obviously, we have 50, but it was number 28. And here's something I was thinking about before I thought about this. From 1776 to 1845, that's roughly, what, 75 years? The United States went from being a small country of 13 colonies or 13 states when the country was founded or when the Constitution was signed to a country now of 28 that would eventually become a country of 50. So in the first something like 170 years, the country had 50 states. It's pretty remarkable, and it speaks volumes about the greatness of the United States and the system that we grew up in. So Texas became number 28 on this day in 1845. Now, Texas, of course, has changed a lot since 1845. When Texas came in, it was a relatively small state. It was big in geography, but small in population. And then, of course, over time, it has become what it is right now, number two in population with more than 30 million people, number two in terms of the U.S. economy. One of the states that people are moving to in the fastest numbers. I mean, relocations, if you check out relocations around the country, many times those relocation trucks are heading to Texas. So Texas is growing a great deal. And if you were to take the Texas economy today at the end of 2022, and let's say you were to make Texas a country, it would have, depending on what numbers you look at, it would have either the 10th or the 11th largest GDP in the world. So that would make Texas a pretty big country economically speaking. Of course, we are because of our business friendly government and because we have low taxes, we are a very attractive place to move to. But it's more than that. It's more than that. I think the quality of life is good. You can still get reasonable housing in Texas. It's getting more and more expensive because all those people coming in are driving up the cost of homes, that's for sure. But to say the least, I mean, our economic situation is, if not the best, it's certainly one of the best in the country. And more people want to live in Texas. But it all started on this day in 1845 when Texas became part of the Union. Now, as you know, those of you who took Texas history in school, Texas was a republic from 1836, I believe, to 1845. And then before that, Texas was part of Mexico in that big, that big Mexican territory that the Spaniards had created. And most of this up here, Texas and what we now call New Mexico and California and all of that, eventually became independent of Mexico. And Texas became a state. Some of those other countries or states also became states. And then Texas became part of the Union on this day in 1845. So a good day to celebrate Texas. December 29th, 1845, a good day to celebrate living in Texas. There was a very interesting editorial that I read a day or so ago. It was over on FoxNews.com, where there was a person who was telling the Republicans to be careful with the investigations because the country is not really interested in investigations. And I happen to agree with that to a point. I do think we need some investigations. I mean, you can do a lot of things. You know, you can do other things as well as investigations. But I believe very seriously we need two investigations. Number one, we need investigations on what the FBI was doing with social media. I'm very curious because it seems like every day something else comes out. And that's not a good thing. The FBI has no business talking to Twitter or Facebook or whoever about what they publish. That's not the job of the FBI. I mean, if the FBI has a problem, they can take that to the Attorney General, and then the Attorney General can act as he or she sees fit. But not this way, not the way the FBI was doing with Twitter or any other social media. And I also do think that we need an investigation of what in the heck is going on with Hunter Biden. You know, I think we need to clear the air, at least, on the Hunter Biden story, because, look, we got to know. We got to know if any of this impacted President Biden. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it didn't. But I think it would make a lot more sense if we knew that after the investigation. The one thing I do know, and this is kind of a combination of these two investigations, is that the second debate that Trump and Biden had would have been totally different if that story in the New York Post had not been deleted or discredited by social media. I think that debate would have been totally different. I'm not saying that Trump would have won the election, but that debate would have been totally different because the information that would have come out would have been very difficult for Joe Biden to defend. So we need an investigation, but yes, we got to do other things as well as an investigation. Well, I leave you today with a little note about Mary Tyler Moore. For those of you of my generation, you remember Mary Tyler Moore as Laura Petrie in the Dick Van Dyke Show, The Great Housewife, and then later as Mary Richards on her own show, The Mary Tyler Moore, where she worked in the newsroom in Minneapolis. And those two roles was a few movies like Ordinary Lives, just made her one of the most popular actresses of the last 50 or 60 years. So Mary Tyler Moore, who was born in California on this day in 1936, passed away in 2017. So Mary Tyler Moore, one of my favorite characters on television. I still think her best performance was as Laura Petrie on the Dick Van Dyke Show. I thought she was fabulous in that show. And she also made a movie with Elvis, if you follow that part of her career. She made a movie with Elvis. I don't remember what movie it was, but she made a movie with Elvis. And every once in a while, when they're running these movies of Elvis, you pick that up. I think it's a movie. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think she played the role of a nun in that movie. I think that's, if my memory serves me correctly, she was a nun in one of those Elvis movies. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for checking in with us. Happy New Year if we don't chat, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.